You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Luke in chapter 14, and I praise God for those instrumentalists and all the orchestra and the choir. And I thank God that you're in church today. It must warm the heart of God that people got up, got out of bed, and got to the house of God on Sunday morning. Young people up there, if you'll put the cell phones away, I'd appreciate it. And just listen for the next few moments, if you will. So very important. We're in the Gospel of Luke today. And I want you to remain seated, but I want you to read with me verses 25, Luke 14. Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. It's a very convicting message to me, personally. I, quite frankly, feel inadequate to preach it. I think sometimes people think that pastor, all he does is pray all day and study the Word of God all day. That's my job, Acts 6:4. I'm to read the Word of God and pray. And I do a lot of praying. And I do a lot of studying. But I told my Sunday school class this morning, it's not enough. I do a lot of prayer for you. And I thank God for you. Some I don't even know. I said, Lord, that couple that sits over there, they've been coming now. I don't know their name, but you know who I'm talking about. And yet I look at my life. I've lived a long life. And I look and I'm so disappointed with my Christian walk with God. I've never done anything to dishonor the pulpit and leave the ministry. I've never touched any money or been immoral with another woman or anything of that nature. But I feel so inadequate to be a pastor. In fact, the one time I almost quit this church and left, that was the reason, really. The root was I felt like you deserved a better man of God. And so today I preach to you with a very heavy heart about my own life. And if it comes down towards you, God's speaking to your heart as well today. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 33. 25 through 33. Let's read it together. Let's pause at the commas and periods and semicolons. Verse 25, ready, begin. And there went a great multitude with him. My question to you today is this Christian life, is it worth it? Is there value? I mean, really, is there value in the Christian life? Is it real? Is this Christian life real? Is it necessary? I've pastored here for almost 50 years now. I've lost more members than I've gained. We have thousands here this morning on this property, the other property. Thank God for the many that have come, but I baptized 20,000. Now I know many are in other churches and serving God, pastoring churches and mission fields. But we don't have 20,000 here today. See, the truth of the matter is, and pastoring in this day is rather hard because you know most people are going to leave you. Most people will quit. They'll stay with this Christian thing to get through school and elementary, junior high and high school and college and get married, and then they'll have a baby and the baby will get them out. Or they'll stay through the baby and they'll get the baby in elementary school, then they'll get out. Or they'll get the baby through high school and then they're done. Or they'll get to retirement and say, I've done this thing. I've done the Christian life. We've got a couple today, they sit right here. They're not here, they're watching. Brother Floyd and Shirley Worley, both are suffering with cancer today. And both, unless God provides a miracle for them, God's going to take them. They've been married a long time. They watch every service, and they've been at every service in the past. Maybe the day is going to come when you cannot come to church, and I understand that happens. But I don't understand when people just lay out of church. I don't understand that. That's a Christianity that's not real. That's a Christianity that's all fake. That's a Christianity that has really no value into it. Is the Christian life worth it? We read three times in this account on the word disciple. And I'm coming to you as a disciple of Jesus Christ today. I'm not a disciple of Muhammad. I'm not a disciple of Confucius. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple who is ever in the White House. I'm still a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple is just simply a follower or a learner or somebody that has bought in to Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the answer. I believe if this country falls to the hand of communists, there's still Jesus. I believe in that. They say that, I don't know if this is a true statement, so I normally don't make it, but they say that in communist China today, there are 25,000 people a day in underground churches turning to Jesus Christ. I don't know if one day we're not going to have this building here. I don't know one day if the Lord tarries and you live and I'm with the Lord, but I don't know if they'll have to tear this building down and put housing here, put something else here. I don't know, but I do know that God is God. Whether it's communism or socialism or whatever it may be, God is still God. And God must be worshiped. And so today we look at being a disciple. I'm a disciple. These men, you're all of us today, we're disciples. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus Christ till you retire. Follow Jesus Christ till you die. Faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, I'll give him a crown of life. There's a lot of things in life I'm not good at. I do not know how to use a computer at all. I do not know how to answer emails. They have to type them out for me. I have to write back on them. And I have listeners. We have over 100 stations. And I write back listeners. I write back people that watch. Today, there'll be 10 to 20,000 people watching this service. And I have to write them back. And I do it all the time. I find this person, whoever can type it up and mail it back, normally a day or two later. I don't know how to use a computer. I don't know how to bank with a computer. I don't know anything. You're so much smarter than I am. But I tell you one thing that I can do. I can be faithful to the day I die. I can be faithful. Faithful to God, reliable to God. God can count on Jack Treber being in his spot every Sunday morning or in a church or singing the praises of God. And when I get too old to pastor, I'm still going to go to church. I believe in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Notice with me today, you're going to have to, your family is going to be involved with this. Verse number 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brethren, our sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's a very powerful statement. God would never, the word hate, don't get stumbled. God would never want me to hate my parents. It would be violating the word of God. God's word says honor your father and mother. My mom's been gone, I think, 10 years. My dad, I think, 8 years. And they were such good members. They sat right back here for 33 years. They were great people. But I want you to know that though my parents are gone, I'm living to honor their name. My grandfathers, both grandfathers, came here about 1905 from Germany. And they came and they went to Sunday school on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. My dad came and my mother, and they began Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, 1920s, all the way through till they passed away. And now we are continuing, and our three boys are all Baptist preachers, and we thank God for them, all serving God today. But I hope that all 22 of our family members are all in church. They are this morning. I know that. They're all in church. They're serving God. But it's got to continue. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And God's word says, you cannot be my disciple. God's word says in 1 John, we're to love the brethren. So it doesn't mean I'm to hate, what we use the word hate. It means in comparison. My love for God is so great that it's like I hate my parents. I never tried to do one thing that was against my dad. I know I did because he gave me spankings just to wear his arm out, I think. I can remember my dad coming home and your mother said, your kids, they didn't obey today. Jack, go to your room. He'd pull that belt off. And I just remember hearing that belt come out. Boy, I tell you what, I feared that belt. And I can remember my dad spanking me. One time, my twin sister, Jack and Jill. Jill, we packed our britches full of books back there. And so when my dad turned us over, he just started laughing, and that was it. We tried it the second time, it didn't work. I can remember my dad spanking me, and my dad never grew up with these books today, how to raise children, but my dad would say something like this, son, did your dad ever do this? Did he ever lie to you like my dad lied to me? This is going to hurt me more than it's gonna, your dad lied to you too. We're a bunch of liars, our parents. I can remember I was about, I can't the exact date, I must have been about 10 or 11. My dad took that belt off and he spanked me. And I stood up and he always had me wait in my room and had me ponder it and then come out and break, I was broken fellowship when we restored, and I said, Dad, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I'd come out after that, after staying in that room, I'd come out and say, I'm sorry. He goes, why don't you go back and think about it a little bit more? I can remember getting off his lap, off his knee. And I saw for the first time my dad weeping that he spanked me. When I sat in that room that day, I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll never make my dad cry over my life again. I think that was my last spanking. Now, these guys, they still need spankings. These guys... I have to spank these staff members once a week, just regardless if they need it or not. God says, my love for Christ needs to be so superior if I'm a disciple, if I'm a follower of him, that it looks like I hate my mother and hate my father and hate my sisters. That's what it looks like in comparison. More love to thee, O Lord. More love to thee. I love God. I love God's word. I love God's people. I love the church. I love singing this morning. I love tithing this morning. I wrote that check out yesterday. I wrote it out to put it in the offering plate this morning. I was so excited for my Sunday school offering, my Sunday morning, Sunday night, the offerings I'm going to give today. I love the things of God. Amen. And yet, God's people, and yet I'm so, so weak. I'm so frail. Brother Mike, so oftentimes I'll have to say, Lord, is my love for you superior that in all things, what's this last word? All things, he may have the preeminence. God, are you so much in control of my life that my love for all these, I'm all for you one day getting a different pastor. I get too old to pastor. But I can't imagine another pastor loving you like I've loved you. But my love for you ought to pale in relationship to my love to God. So family, if I'm a true follower of Jesus Christ, my family will be secondary to him. Notice what else? My fate, verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Second time we find that word disciple. My fate. If you don't bear your own cross, what's your cross? It's the cross of suffering. How do you suffer today? I think of this church, how many of you suffer because your husband is home with the Lord? I think of how many of you, you're suffering because your wife is home with the Lord. And you miss her so much. You're suffering today. I oftentimes, through the night, I'll get up and I'll think of the people in our church that are husband has left, or the wife has left, and or the husband has died, or the wife has died. I think how many people are alone in this globe, 8 billion people, and yet you're alone. And my heart goes out to you. I think of, I was this morning reviewing the, I've got a shelf in my office of all the memorabilia of the little boys and girls and teenagers that died, something from every one of them. I got a little train in there from Jeremiah when he was 5, passed away with cancer. I got a picture and a trophy of Brother Wilkerson's son who was on his way to college here and he died in a car accident on Pacheco Pass. I got a ball cap, 49er cap from Edward Wardell, missionary kid, 15 years of age, just laid to rest out here with cancer. I got all these different memorabilia of different kids. And I think how, I was thinking of Brother Paul Skirty, I was thinking about your daughter today, how that night, it must relive her in her heart all the time. Well, little Jeremiah, your grandson, I'll never forget Brother Paul about 1 o'clock in the morning wrapped that little boy up and took him out to the van. The mortuary people were there and he carried his own grandson. How that must be a hurt in his heart. God says, if you cannot carry this hurt, this anguish in your heart, this faith that you have, you can't carry this. You cannot be my disciple. All the pain and suffering. Some folks are in wheelchairs today and in canes, and there's different items in life, in your life, and they're in medication and all these things you're going through. And God says, you cannot be my disciple. James says, if I suffer as a Christian, God's going to give me a crown of life. To them that love is appearing. I wonder how you're suffering today. Maybe you're suffering financially. Maybe you're suffering with your health. Maybe you're suffering in your marriage. Your wife just doesn't get it. Your husband just doesn't get it. Where are you suffering? Everybody suffers. God says, you're not my disciple if you cannot suffer for my glory. So one, he says, your family, it needs to look like hate compared to your love for me. Your faith, the suffering that you go through, it needs to look that you're enjoying that suffering to glory in my, most gladly therefore why glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a third discipleship. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple. God says all of your finances, everything in life, you've got to forsake it. I recall I was an assistant pastor for 2 churches, and then this church was about 6 months old when you called me to be your pastor. We had 22 people. That included the nurseries and everybody. We didn't own a building. We didn't own anything. I can recall, I never even asked you what you're going to pay us. I didn't even ask what the benefits were. I went to two churches, was working there, I never asked them what they're paying. My father-in-law started me at $25 a week full-time. When I got married, he raised me up to $65 a week. No health insurance, no car, nothing, just 65 bucks a week. I went to the next place, I got $135 a week, and that was it. And I came here and I told my wife, I said, honey, we're going to build this thing together. I want to have you be my secretary. And she worked every week, and you know this is true, 50 hours a week, 55, 60 hours a week. I said, I'll pay you, if we have the money, $25 a week. Brother Jerry, you know what that's like. You know what I'm talking about with your wife. And I gave her $25 a week. Together, we made $8,600. No health insurance, no life insurance, no car, no gasoline, no expenses. We went for years without health insurance. We had a place we rented. But we never felt like we were sacrificing for God. We loved what we were doing. I loved it. Brother Al Rutledge and I, he's home with the Lord. We were pastoring together for that first year. And on the ninth month anniversary of the church, 9 months, I said, folks, we're going to have a big day. And we were running about maybe 100 on Sunday morning. We're going to have 400 in church. He was older than I am, about by 20 years, and he stood up and he said, now, folks, this morning, Brother Jack, Brother Pastor, he mentioned we're going to have 400 in church on our 10th month anniversary. Here's what he said. I want to wash my hands from it because it's not possible. He's a young kid, and he's a pastor here, but he set you up for defeat. You're not going to have 400. And I love Al Rutledge. I conducted his funeral. That was like saying, sick 'em to a cat. You know, that day, I can never forget, we had 450 on that Sunday, on our 10th month anniversary. God's been so good to us. Amen. I'm grateful that I have a wife that's never counted the offering and what are we going to have and what's our investments and what's going to happen to us? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. And that's being a disciple. I'm closing. Kids, you've listened so carefully today. I fight after 50 years being your pastor because I feel so weak, Brother Van Dyke. I look at my life and I pray and I study and I work. And I work long hours every day. I just work long hours. But I feel so inadequate. I wonder, is my love for God like hate to my parents? The sweetest people in all this world were my parents. The sweetest girl in this world was my sister who died during COVID, just rolled over in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and just died. The sweetest Christian. The last post she made was my preaching out here, and Brother Alvin Martinez said, listen to Brother Martinez sing. Listen to my brother preach today. And I love my sister so much. My twin sister loves her so much. But is my love for God superior than my love for my parents? God says it ought to look like hate because you love me so much. Amen. I can apologize to you all I can do and try to do better. Is my difficulties in life causing me to be a good disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ? That songwriter said, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, or shall I boast to speak his name? When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Are you, is this thing worth it?
Amen.
Is it really real? Are you going to be out of here? Greg, I saw you walking up to church this morning. You blessed my heart. I thought he comes a long distance to come. Every week he comes, he and his wife and family. Well, family, your family's grown now, brother. I think of John and Maggie. They're here today with a brand new 2-week-old baby. John and Maggie are up here with the teens, I think. Keep that little girl in the house of God, John, for a lifetime. When sorrow comes, keep her in God's house. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, I love these people. I love them so much. I'm so grateful they allow me to be their pastor. They can get rid of me anytime they want. And yet they allowed me to pastor them. I thank you for visitors. There's so many visitors every Sunday. Lord, we're not doing a good job keeping up on our visitors. Thank you for all that are here today. Thank you for those that are bereaved. I think of next week we have 2 funerals, 2 good members. 58-year-old man, a 72-year-old woman. Young, really. I pray that, God, we would find ourselves good disciples. Is it really worth it? Yes, it is. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. How many could raise your hand? I wish I could. I'd like to be able to raise my hand, but you say, Pastor, I'm trying. I'm not saying you're perfect at it. I'm trying to be a good disciple. I'm trying. My hand's up on, I'm trying. Who else? Would you raise your hand? I'm trying to be a good disciple. God bless you. Hundreds and hundreds of hands. God bless you. How many say, Pastor, you're speaking today to me. It's got to be worth it in my life to be a disciple. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? Hands are going up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. God bless you. You put them down, please. It's worth it, ladies and gentlemen. It's worth it to serve God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.